Hello, this is Brianna. I'm so sorry that I'm late. I don't know what happened with my phone, but I had to restart it to get it to work. So I'm here now, and I'm just opening up the slides. Hopefully you guys have those as well. They're posted on the blog, at my website at brighterfocus.com. And it's Make It Happen number 4. Today we're talking about sustaining the momentum. So first couple of slides are the same as they have been. We have the ways that you can interact. There's Twitter has been the popular one. You can post questions there or feel free to ask them on the call. This call is about answering the question, how can I actually make this thing happen that I've been wanting for so long? And today, we're well on our way. So through the course of this series, you develop your really clear picture. You have a detailed plan for where you're going, and you have really specific steps to get there. And last week we worked on developing the willingness and some tools to embrace whatever comes up along the way. So you have each of the pieces that are necessary for moving towards your dream, but there's still a long way to go. So the next slide shows a person juggling, which is roughly what we're going to be doing. We have to sustain all of these pieces. It's keeping the vision, maintaining the plan and the action steps, and constantly opening to whatever comes up. And so this is a process. This isn't once you check this off your list and you're done, you keep kind of cycling through all of these steps, just like when you're juggling several balls. So one of the things when you're juggling that you learn is to keep your eye on the balls. So always be looking at where you're going and why you're doing this, like what the ultimate outcome will be, because that'll keep your energy and your motivation up. And then not only, you know, looking toward where you want to go, keeping your eyes on the ball, but also staying loose and having fun in the meantime is a super important thing for juggling, and it is just as important in this process. So the next slide, dive right into how we can sustain this kind of momentum. And I was just reading about this, and I'm reading Creating the Work You Love by Rick Jarro. And so he was talking about how, basically the same thing that my work focuses on, is like, how can I uncover my heart and use that in my work? And the first place that he started in his book is with victim consciousness versus creative consciousness. And I love the way that he, just those terms and the juxtaposition of when I'm in a victimized state and when I'm believing that I'm not at choice, then I can't create, I don't have access to my resources from there. But when I'm in a creative space, when I'm open and I'm not working out of fear, then I have access to all kinds of things. So developing that creative consciousness and recognizing when we slip back into victim consciousness is an important tool for maintaining the momentum that you've created. So to notice a victim consciousness, you can notice any sense of obligation or sacrifice that you're feeling. Anytime you feel like there's a burden that some kind of weight that you didn't choose. Anytime you notice yourself complaining about something and complaining, I read this book called A Complaint-Free World, which I listed in the resources, and the author talks about complaining as a sense of dissatisfaction with the way things are. And I love that definition of it because I don't relate to necessarily being a complainer. Like, I don't tend to complain about things. But when I thought about it that way, as it being a sense of dissatisfaction with the way things are, I connected a lot more with that. Like, I can think of a lot of areas where I'm either frustrated with, you know, just frustrated with how things are going, or upset with myself because something's not, you know, I'm not where I want to be. And so some people would connect to complaining, or some people might connect more to that definition, but recognizing when you're dissatisfied with the way things are and focusing on that problem that you're seeing instead of focusing on a solution. Because there are two ways to look at anything that's going on, and if we can kind of turn ourselves to look from the perspective of this really being a step for us into something better, instead of looking from the perspective of this being a block in front of us creating something worse. You know, it's really just about how we're looking at it. So, and then we can notice when we're feeling frustrated or constricted or oppressed. Those are all words that I connect with. Like, that's how I would describe my own feeling of being in a victim consciousness, is when I'm feeling, I just feel oppressed. I feel like somebody is holding me back or keeping me stuck, somebody or something. So identify for yourself what that feels like to you, and then practice noticing it, paying attention when you're in that space. And then I redirect myself by paying attention to my choice in the matter and asking, what is my job here? So if somebody's not behaving in the way that I wish that they would behave, I often think of my kids when I think of that. Like, they often don't behave how I, you know, how I would prefer them to behave. But I get to choose how I respond to them. I am in charge of, and I'm responsible for my behavior in the situation. So even when I can't control them, which is about 100% of the time I can't actually control them, I get to show up how I want to show up, and I get to model what I would like to see in them. And that's my only job. So that's how I redirect myself into a creative consciousness. And from that place, then I can create. I can, you know, look at what am I actually dealing with here, and how can I embrace it, and how can I work with it, and how can I move forward in it instead of resisting and shutting myself down. That's one of the tools for maintaining your momentum. The next slide says balance and daily routine. This is another of my, when I sat down and thought about how do I maintain something over a long period of time, how do I keep the momentum going, this is one of the things that I do. And this kind of metaphor, I guess, I connected with a long time ago, and it shows the rocks in the jar, and it's from Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And it's his habit number 3, which is put first things first. So if you imagine that you have a pile of sand and a pile of pebbles and a pile of rocks, the larger rocks are the most important things in your life. They're the stuff that make your heart sing. They're the things that you value above all else. And when you're not spending enough time on those things, you know, because you feel weary or you feel bored or you feel overcommitted and burnt out. You're just not being fulfilled. if you imagine the pebbles and the sand are the other stuff of life, the stuff that if you let it will fill up your jar. It'll take over your time. And it's things that sometimes need to get done. It's the grocery shopping, the phone calls, watching TV, those daily kinds of things. And sometimes they're urgent, but they can really control the flow of our day. So if you put the sand into your jar first, and then you put in the pebbles, and then you put the rocks in last, you'll end up with a lot of rocks left over because the sand will take up most of the space in the jar, and there will only be a little bit of space left for those big things. And that's what happens in my life when I'm not scheduling time to do the things that are really important to me, and those are the things that can often get left until last. For me, those things are exercise, which sometimes I try to go without, and I just am not at my best when I'm not moving my body. Spending time with family, writing, spiritual practice, those are big rocks for me, and those are the things that can get pushed aside when I'm really busy. So if you think about your jar, the amount of time that you have in a day or in a week, and you put the rocks in first, you schedule time for the really important things, the things that are in line with your values, the things that make you who you are. Put those in your jar first. Then you can sprinkle in the pebbles. And the pebbles kind of fall in. They fall into place. They find, you know, they make spaces. Those little nagging kind of activities that you need to get done every day, you get them done because you have to, you know, we have to go grocery shopping. Like, those are the things that that we do to take care of ourselves and to make our lives run and to, you know, nourish our bodies. Those are the things, they'll fit in between the rocks. And then you can take the sand and you dump that into the jar and it will, you know, run through the rocks down to the bottom of the jar and it will fill up all the little spaces. But when you have those big rocks in there first, you'll not only get a lot more done because you can fit more into your life that way. The point is not packing your life with stuff to do. The point is that those big rocks will energize you. They will, you know, make your spirit feel satisfied and fulfilled in a way that allows you to do a lot more of the other stuff that needs to get done. So I don't want to jump ahead to the homework, but you'll want to think about the big rocks and what those are, what the priorities are for you in your life, the things that support you in being present and centered, and schedule time for those first. And the third way to maintain your momentum is to automate your success. And this has always been a part of my life just because I'm kind of a nerd like that. I like scheduling and I like systems. I like creating things that help my time help me flow more easily so I don't have to think about everything. And Steve Chandler wrote a book called Fearless, which I love. And he talks about, I can't remember the exact sentence that he uses, but he calls it default. He says, do whatever you can do to make success your default. So if you think about you know, the ways that we're just moving through life, kind of just getting by, that might be a default right now, or maybe it has been in the past. And if you think about the ways that you can structure your life so that the default becomes getting something done or doing the thing that you, you know, that you're really working toward. If you can make those things automated so that they happen without you having to think about it, so that the work that you do would actually be, you know, it would take work to not get that thing done, or it would take work to switch something around so that you didn't succeed. Like, the work would be required in order to not succeed in that situation. When you're automating your success, then you're setting yourself up for that thing to, you know, if everything just keeps moving along, then you have achieved, you'll achieve your goal. You want to find as many ways to automate your success as you can. And some of the ways that I've listed here are to read your daily, your affirmations and your manifesto or whatever kind of vision that you have written. If you went through your heart's roadmap, the guide that I wrote, then you came away at the end with a piece of writing for yourself of exactly what you want to create in your life. And if you get that to a readable size so that you can read that, some people read it a couple times a day, some people read it faithfully every morning or every night or both, but having consistent contact with that vision or that goal or even short affirmations, keeping those right in front of you and in your mind's eye and maintaining the energy that you get from those, from reading those big visions that you have for yourself, that makes the process more automated, because when that is in our conscious mind, when it's in the front of our mind, then we just naturally operate in a way that's in alignment with it. We naturally operate in alignment with our beliefs. So whatever we're believing is what we're doing in life. And if we can keep, you know, if we can be really clear about what we're believing, what we're telling ourselves, the stories that we act out of, then the behaviors and the responses in our life, the things that actually happen, happen effortlessly because they just happen in alignment with whatever we're believing. So that's a way to keep the story in your mind very clear and very positive about what you want to create. And that goes along with hanging visual reminders. So you could create little pieces of art, you know, tiny paintings or little drawings or little sketches or notes. You could make tiny shrines. I have little shrines around my house with a seashell and a candle, or I use a penny, especially really shiny. I love shiny things, really shiny new pennies. I'll use that to symbolize money, and I'll just make tiny shrines that, for me, they catch my eye, and they are just a nice reminder of what I'm working on in my life and, you know, the priorities that I want to maintain. So having those reminders is really helpful. Scheduling a weekly check-in is one of my biggest automated the things that really keep me moving toward what I want to create. The weekly check-in is one of the big ones. So David Allen wrote the book Getting Things Done, and I think I've listed it before in the resources. It's one of my favorite books for time management. And it's not only time management, it's like managing everything in your world that you have to do, all the things that you imagine that you have to get done. How do you juggle all of them, and how do you create a system for capturing and working through them while keeping your brain and your heart open to create and to live and to be in the moment. So he has this great system, and it hinges on this weekly check-in that you have with yourself, where you sit down with all your projects and you look and say, where am I on this project? You know, this really important thing that I'm working toward in my life, where am I on it? What have I gotten done this week? What is the next thing that I'm going to do? You know, that next action step I got that idea from him, that breaking these things down into very small, actionable items is the way to make consistent movement. And having the weekly check-in is the way to keep it moving along. Because you could set yourself up with a bunch of action steps, but then if you don't ever check back in with the bigger picture of where you came and where you're going to, then you can get lost. So the weekly check-in is super important. And then the last piece of this is scheduling all of the important things in your calendar. And this might be my own filter, I think that it might be. But I love my calendar, and I credit my calendar with all of the things that I have done in my life. I give credit to my calendar because I just break everything down into little steps, and then I schedule a time for it. And if I get to that time and it's not the right time for me to be doing that thing that I had planned, then I can, you know, then I have my weekly check-in and I move those things. If something didn't happen when I thought it would, then I plan another time for it. But I keep it in there so that, because it's important to me. And if it's important, then I really want to have time to get it done. So putting those things on my calendar is one of the ways that I do that. And so the last slide is homework. And the three pieces of homework that I would invite you to do are to identify your big rocks, your really important values, your priorities, the things that fulfill you, that make you feel like your life is worthwhile. You know, if you think about life, your life purpose, things like that, the really important stuff. Identify exactly what those things are and then schedule time for them. Oh my gosh, there's another book that I want to add to my resources that I just thought of. It's called Your Best Year Yet. And I do this every year. It's a little, I don't know what you would call it. It's a book that walks you through a series of questions, and you sit down once a year and you do it, and you look back over your last year and you kind of you think about what went well and what didn't go so well. And the thing that made me think of that was, oh, that you break up your life. Well, then they have you go through what your values are and what your top number, I don't remember, 10 roles are in your life, like the top 10 things. Like, I'm a mom, I'm an interpreter, or I would put this work in with that too. I'm a coach. One of the roles that they have you do is that you're your own personal coach. Like, you're in charge of your life and your direction of your life. Anyway, you outline all of the roles in your life, and then when you're creating your plan for the next year and like the major things that you'd like to accomplish in each area of your life, then they have a system for creating balance where you're checking in with each of those roles every so often so that each of them gets time and so that each part of you is, you know, that you pay attention to each part of yourself. So that's important to think about when you're identifying your big rocks, is not only focusing on one area of your life. Like, for me, finances have been a really big focus for the last couple of years, and it would be easy to, you know, focus on that and spend time and energy on that at the sacrifice of other things. Or for several years, it was kids. Like, when I had tiny children, like, it's really easy to spend a lot of time caring for them and, you know, less time caring for myself. So keeping those big, important things in balance somewhat and making time for each of them is really important. And then the second piece of homework is create some kind of a daily reminder for yourself. So That might be your vision board, might be affirmations that you post around the house or little shrines like I talked about, or your heart's roadmap, that vision that you create after doing the work. Some way to make it a habit to check in with your larger goal and where you're going. So create a daily reminder for that. And then the third piece of homework is to establish a weekly check-in for yourself and put that on your calendar. Make a time of, you know, like look at your week and see when it will be comfortable to do. Like sometimes I have a habit of sticking something in a place that I know is a poor choice. Like I know I'm not going to come right home from the grocery store at 11 o'clock and sit down and do my check-in for an hour right before I have to go to work at 12:30 or something like that. Like, I know that's not realistic for me. So come up with a time that is realistic, that feels supportive to you, where you can sit down and have a cup of tea or coffee and just be with yourself and with your goals and with just vision of that you have for your life. My last reminder is, and I want to emphasize this because I know that I tend to get carried away with systems and scheduling, and like, I really like learning about things like that and tools like that, because I feel like it supports me in doing the things that I want to do. But the thing that I want to emphasize here is to have fun with it. To always remind yourself why you're doing it, why you're even breaking down little tasks in the first place. Why am I doing this? Because you have this vision that you're creating and that you're working on living now. So much of this can feel like it's about a future destination, when really the more I do this, the more I realize it's about identifying what I think I want in the future and living it in the moment. You know, what experience am I going to get out of having, I keep talking about the new car, like if I wanted a new car, what experience am I going to get out of that? Well, I might get comfort, I might get security, might get ease of, you know, travel or whatever. So how can I make that real in my day now? Like, how can I make my old car a little more comfortable right now while I'm driving it? Or how can I build ease into my schedule as far as transportation goes? Like, so live this stuff today and look at this as a grand experiment in making great things happen for yourself. When I was embarking on this coaching journey in the beginning, and it felt really scary, and I was really nervous about it, my own coach, Jaya, said to me, "This is your heart being tended." And that statement has always stuck with me, because it really sums up how I feel about this, and it gets me out of the headspace of thinking that there's more to do, that I'm not doing it right, or I'm not doing enough, or, you know, there's something lacking. It's like, no, the reason that I'm doing this is to give my heart a place to sing, like, because I want to have the life where it's full of joy, you know, where I am living from my heart every day. That's what I'm doing. And so how can I practice that within this work? I remind myself, this is about my heart being tended. This is about my heart singing. So whatever you do, however you go about it, let it nourish and excite you. And I invite you to make a commitment to yourself that you'll not make this another weight that you have to bear, that you will commit to yourself that this is the work of your heart and that this is the place that you can find joy. The last slide has the resources for this week, and there were several because I feel like it was kind of a mishmash of lots of different things that I've learned. And all of these books that I listed here are wonderful. And I'll make sure and add Your Best Year Yet to something that I send out so that you guys can have that, because that's another really good one. And I'm just about to schedule my time for this year to go, usually go away overnight and just sit with the questions and do a lot of writing and thinking about the last year and imagining the next year. It's a really sweet time to spend with myself. So this call today is going to be the last in the series, and so please stay tuned to the email list, and I will send out whatever is happening in the future. In the meantime, I always invite you to reach out. I love to do exploration sessions, and I'm happy to answer questions over email, and I love to hear your experiences with all of this. So anytime I get email from you guys, it just brightens my day because I really love this work, and I love to hear about people's experiences with it. So far, there haven't been any questions on Twitter, but I would love to open it up if there are any questions or comments. Now would be the time. I'm just checking everything here to see if there's anything coming up. I sent out an email this morning, and it has a link to a survey in it. And I would be so thrilled if you guys all would fill out the survey. It's really short. It's like 6 questions, and it's all open-ended questions. I just want to, whatever you have to share about each topic, I would love to know, because I really want to tailor my offerings and, you know, the work that I'm doing to what you all need. I want it to be very relevant. So if you have a few minutes, then please fill that out and keep in touch. Thank you so much for being with me, and I'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.